This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have Erin Morris. Erin, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So before we get into your ghost stories, you were like, I kind of want to talk about why I believe in ghosts. And that is something I'm interested in. So yeah. So you had a, is this before your stories took place that you got into ghosts?
Yeah. Or no? Yeah. Well, I've always believed in ghosts, but I think the reason why is because I grew up in an old house and my dad, I remember as a kid, I asked my dad if he believed in ghosts and he was like, well, if you believe in angels, you believe in ghosts. And I was like, well, that logic tracks and we're Catholic. So, he converted. So he wasn't, you know, he bought in late. He and my mom told me, we grew up in a very old house. It was like one of the first people in our town built it. He was like one of the town founders.
Where are you from?
In my room. I'm from Libertyville, Illinois.
Okay, cool.
So it's like Chicago suburbs. But yeah, it's a, I don't know, it's not a great town to grow up in if you're weird and into ghosts. But they told me that when they moved into the house, they had these like pictures of us, like a family portrait up, and they hung it up on the wall, and there was on the back of the frame, it wasn't like there was like a hole in it, or if there was, it was like a rope, like, you know, the rope type of thing that's behind a picture frame.
Yes.
So you would have to like lift it up to hang it on the hook. And they told me that they would hear a big crash, go check it out. And the picture would be like propped up against the wall. So like it couldn't just fall and it didn't break. So I never saw ghosts as like a scary thing.
Why do you think a ghost would bother to take your family portrait off the wall and then prop it up?
It's like, hey, I'm here. But yeah, like I think that it's like an acknowledgement type of a thing. It was never scary. And it definitely, like, I could tell when I would go to like a friend's house that was built newer, there was just like kind of a different energy in there. But I mean, I loved growing up in that house. It was a great house to grow up in. There was never any feeling that of like, you know, negativity in the house. But I think that that's always led me to be very open to, I don't know that I would say like experiences with ghosts, but I'm definitely like, I don't ascribe to like, this is real and this isn't. I would just kind of take everything in. And I think that kind of primed me for that. Which is why my ghost story is kind of funny because it's not scary at all. I didn't even know it was happening until after.
Oh, I love that. There's so many positive ghost stories and I love them because it's like, I think the people that listen to this podcast, like we want to get spooked sometimes, of course, but also like, I think there's just this general interest in like, what can we not see out there? And not all of it is evil and trying to kill us. Some of it might be trying to help us or just make contact, you know?
Yeah. And it is that ultimate question of like, what happens to you after you die? I mean, everybody has a vested interest in that question. And I think that that's, you know, especially for curious people, like that's why I think ghost stories and ghost podcasts are so appealing. I can jump into my story.
I'm trying to not talk over you too much. Cause I think it's like, there's like a tiny delay. And so I'm like, I don't want to like screw it up. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Sometimes it just happens.
Yeah. I'm in like another old building that I thought was haunted, but turns out there's just like a glare on the door. It's not like misty. But I always am kind of looking for it because I want to interact with the ghost. It sounds fun.
Listen, I'm in LA and it's everybody's really spread apart. And it would be really convenient if I had somebody else to hang out with here that my husband and I had somebody else to hang out with that was already in the place, you know? So anyway, I get it.
My story takes place in Mississippi.
Okay, yeah.
In the South. I don't want to reveal the exact location, just because I want to protect some anonymity, but if you know the area, you'll know what I'm talking about. I went to college in Mississippi, because, I was like medium smart where I was from, but I got a really good scholarship down there. And it was also the year of the like polar vortex when I was picking a college. And it was either Marquette or Mississippi. And I was like, I cannot do this again.
I totally get it.
I can't do it again. So I went to school in Mississippi and this was my senior year. And something that was pretty common to do, there was this famous author who had a house in the town of the college. And the grounds were open to the public. You could go inside like during certain hours. It's a museum. But the grounds.
Right?
Sorry, what's that?
He's a dead author.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty long dead. Yeah. He, pretty famous author. And he had a house in town and it's kind of weird because you have a lot of neighborhoods, but that area, there's, some acreage. So there's a lot of grounds to walk. There's trails. You can walk around the house. And so it was my first time being there. And my friend who went there all the time, was kind of walking me around the house. And there's, you come in and there's like a parking lot and it's pretty wooded. And then there's kind of like some clearings. So we pull in and we're just walking to the back of the house. And this is the South. So I don't know the history of the house, but the time this author was alive, it was after slavery had ended, but there's still obviously, you know, like sharecropping and, you know, kind of de facto slavery where it was very low wages. So there were, I don't know the history of the house. I don't want to make any assumptions, but it's also, you know, draw your own conclusions. Yeah. This is kind of one where I think we can connect the dots, but there were servants' quarters in the back. So it's like this big opulent house. And then there's like, kind of like this brick building behind it. And then behind that is this very like rudimentary kind of, it's like a one room. I don't want to say shack, but like it's servants quarters. It's not very nice.
Basic.
But yeah, it's very basic. Yeah. So we're in between the house and that brick building that's in between the house and the servants quarters. Mm-hmm. And I looked, we're just walking and it's kind of like late afternoon and it's before daylight savings time. It's like right before the switch. Mm-hmm. It's in the spring. So it must've been like 3 or 4 o'clock. So the sun was like starting to come down a little. So there's kind of this glow coming at us. So we're walking and I look to my left and there's like this little like 2-year-old baby kind of just like waddling around. And it's got this, for some reason I knew it was a girl. I don't know why I knew that, but I was like, oh, it just in my head. I don't know. I just thought it was a girl. And it was, the baby was like dressed in, and like, when I say baby, I mean like 1.5 year old. So not like an infant. they were walking, but not well.
Yeah. So just at that age, where they're learning. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just assumed the parents were like beyond that house, just out of view. Cause it's sort of this like sliver that you look to your left and it's end of the house and the beginning of the other building. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you're looking down an alleyway. So I was like, oh, the parents are just kind of off to the side. And there was, because of where go ahead.
What was the baby wearing?
Sort of like, and it looked old. It was like this like linen-y, like onesie type of deal that had like some like ruffles. And it wasn't that uncommon for babies to be dressed like that in that town. It was very like people who lived there and had kids there were pretty wealthy and the style of clothes. It was not uncommon for a baby to be in like this like very expensive linen-y looking thing.
Yeah, it could go either way. It could be like 1800s or right now, and mom and dad have tons of money. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I just assumed it was a rich baby. And it kind of had this like halo-y thing around it. And it was like, I was like, oh, the sun is in the right place for that. So then we walked to the back and then we circle back around, and now we're going on the other side of the house. And I turn to my friend, I'm like, I wonder where that baby went. And she was like, what baby? She was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, no, the baby. Like, I looked over, there were people here before. And she was like, there's no one here. And we looked in the parking lot, there were no cars. We were completely alone. There was no one there. And that was when I was like, okay, I'm going to file this away for later.
What do you think the baby, do you think it was a ghost servant baby?
No, it was definitely, I mean, it was a, this sounds so weird, but it was a white baby. So it definitely wasn't.
Baby. Yeah.
And it really could have been like any time period. I don't know that it was the 1800s, and I don't actually think that it was. The more interesting piece of the story is sort of the after part, because this was in 2018 that this happened. And then I pretty much immediately moved up to Milwaukee, started teaching, and then the pandemic hit, which I no longer am a teacher. But we had a lot of time to decide. Yeah. What's that?
Thank you for your service.
Oh my God. No, I got out as soon as I could. I was like, I love being on the couch, but actually I don't think I can deal with this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I ended up calling the place in the pandemic. So I was like, I'm bored and I want to figure this out. So I called them, and the baby was like blonde, like there was blonde hair. And so I called them and I was like, because I know that it's very common for them to have ghost sightings there. They see them a lot. The place is very haunted. And so I asked them, I was like, hey, has anybody ever seen like a baby ghost around here? They were like, no, not that. I was like, they were like, can you describe the baby?
My gosh, that's so funny.
And I was like, she was blonde. She was in a, you know, she was blonde, just kind of wobbling around. And they were like, well, the daughter of the author who grew up here had a blonde daughter. And she, you know, passed away I think it was natural causes, definitely not at a young age. Like, he had another baby that died very young. That was like when it was an infant, and this wasn't an infant.
Okay.
And so I asked them if they could send me any pictures, and they sent me a picture of her when she was like four. And I was like, that is the same hair. So I think it was her. And then they told me not to tell anyone, but I feel like enough time has passed, but I guess her ashes were scattered on the grounds. They try not to publicize that too much. But again, like, this isn't, I'm not explicitly saying anything.
Yeah. Also, get over it. People love this stuff. Come on. I mean, yeah. I didn't think about this, and now I suddenly want to go to Mississippi, you know? So,
well, yeah, it's also very natural that that would be where her ashes were scattered. There aren't a lot of Catholics down there, so most people are cremated. Or at least that's been my understanding ever since I grew up and was like, oh, you're not supposed to see your grandparents' bodies.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea, I think.
I had no idea cremation was so common.
Yeah, I also grew up Catholic, so yeah, I get it. It's pretty eye-opening that we don't have to spend eternity in the ground. Wow, but, that's awesome. So you saw a little baby ghost.
I think so. I mean,
did she seem happy, sad, just like normal, just regular baby stuff?
He's kind of just like hanging out, like walking around, didn't like see me. It definitely wasn't like an eye contact type of a thing. Like, I just saw it. And something that they told me is that these like memory imprints are very common there. So you'll see something from a long time ago. And you can like look at their website. Like, they have photographs of like that were taken in, I think, like the 60s. And that's when this baby was a baby. It was like 50s, 60s.
Okay.
So it wasn't like uncommon for the people who worked at the house to live on the grounds. So that's what That's the only conclusion I'm drawing. So it wasn't necessarily that it was like a shack in the back, but it wasn't, it obviously was not for the people who lived in the house.
Yes. So do you think you're seeing more? Yeah. What do you think the ghost is? Do you think it's more of an imprint, or do you think that that spirit is somehow living there currently? Like,
I think it's a memory imprint for, cause like, and that's something that I've heard of, cause I listen to a lot of ghost podcasts. So there was like one that I listened to where it was this guy talking about how like his old family home, there was like this redheaded girl that they kept seeing, and it turned out it was his aunt, but she died older. And it was kind of like a time when she was happy that, like, that's called like a memory imprint. And I don't know like how they happened, because the ones that they've seen on the grounds were like a horse and like basically a tree that wasn't there. So some tree that maybe had significance to the family. I don't know. But very interesting that someone took a picture of it, and you can see it, and they're like, this is the picture of the imprint, and 5 minutes later they took this picture and it's gone.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So it's like it's a very like haunted grounds, but the picture that I saw was of her sitting with, I believe, what would be her nanny, on the steps of that back house. So it would like make sense why she wasn't in the house, kind of, to me. But it was really interesting, because like the author, like, all this stuff is, it's almost like a time capsule of the whole house. So it doesn't like surprise me that they've had these like memory imprints, because he wrote one of his books like on the walls.
Whoa.
So there's like all of this like mapping out of this book that you can read and see.
The benefits of owning instead of renting. Come on. Love that privilege.
You can write on your walls if you rent. You just got to paint it over.
And so it's almost like courting these memory imprints, because it is, it's maintaining this historical facet.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I have a very like loose definition of like how I think. I'm a very spiritual person, and I have, like this loose definition of how I think spirits work. And my thought is just that, you know, it's not something we can really conceive, but I think that, like, certainly if this is sort of what this is my elevator speech about my theories of life. But it's just, if like energy can't be created or destroyed, and there's electricity in your brain, that has to mean that it goes somewhere. It can't be destroyed. So if you want to call that your soul, you can't. I don't, obviously no one knows how it works, but that's sort of my thought. Like, and then a couple years ago in 2021, my dog passed away very unexpectedly. Oh, thank you. I'm okay now. I actually have a whole bit about it. Paid off.
Last year, and I have nothing but tears still. So I'm very jealous. Yeah.
It's how I got into comedy. I'm sober, and before I got sober, I would like be wasted at this mic at the bar that was next to my house. So I went up a couple times and I always loved comedy. So my friend was like, why don't you go do the open mic? Why don't you go back to that? So I tried it and did pretty well, and then just kind of stuck with it. And it was also a way for me to more slowly process what was happening, just because, you know, I wasn't in the house. But like right after it happened, I was sitting at my table and I looked over and I saw her like walking towards me, but I could kind of like see through her. And then it kind of just like faded out. So again, I don't know if that's like a memory imprint or what it is, but it definitely like, I was like, no, I know I saw that.
Right.
But.
Is it just the one time?
Yeah, just the one time. I think it would be bad if I saw her all the time.
Yeah, you would never be able to get over it.
I would never be able to move.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. Well, okay, so with having these experiences where you actually have seen ghosts, like how do you, and then talking about memory imprints and interpreting it in this way, how does that when you think about growing up kind of in a haunted house, at least where you're like the family photo would come off the wall, how do you interpret that with all this new knowledge and thought that you've put into it?
I think I just like the way it's more so that I guess I'm like, if I'm talking about like my worldview and how it like shaped me as a person, I think it's just, I'm just open to things. Like I don't like to jump to a conclusion immediately.
So how, this is what I because I totally get the memory imprint thing. I believe in it. I also believe in ghosts. I cannot explain how both exist. What do you think? Do you have the answer?
I mean, I think that it's, you know, my big thing is like, I think that in a place where there were very strong emotions, like if you think about places with a lot of trauma in them. The campus that I was at was very haunted. There was a building that was used to house Union and Confederate soldiers during the war. And it was like an infirmary. So a lot of people died there. Mm-hmm. So that place is pretty haunted. I think having the trauma of how mistreated people were in the South. New Orleans, if you think about New Orleans, there's been a lot of trauma down there. I mean, I think that if we're looking at places where people have been mistreated or there've been like negative emotions, I think that that is sort of becomes like, I don't want to say like a vacuum, but I think it can become sort of like a hub. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I'm just a ghosts girl.
Well, you're in the right.
I'm very sort of sensitive to like the energy of a space that I walk into. And so I remember like I would have like friends who like I knew there was some abuse happening in the home and I would, you know, go over there and just the air felt very heavy. And I think that if you like bring a Ouija board into that or you start like opening the door for inviting something, I think something's going to come. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you use a Ouija board. Like, I don't think it really matters what you use. My whole thing is, I think that if there's, like, a place where a lot of people have died, or there's, like, a place where there's been a lot of, like, abuse or trauma or things like that, I think that, like, spaces hold energy. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of feel the difference. When I was a kid, I watched a show that was like a ghost hunting show, but it was on Animal Planet. So it was like all these people and like their pets being like, our dog started barking. And then we found out we had a poltergeist.
That's so funny.
And so it's like it was a very interesting show. I wish I knew what it was called. But I think that, you know, if you like talk about like a service dog who like knows you're going to have, and obviously the dog has to like already do this for them to be a service dog, but like who can like sense like when someone's gonna have a seizure. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple things that might go into that, but it's like a dog can't like hear your heartbeat from across the room. But there's like, I don't know, I think that like spiritually there's gotta be something happening.
Yeah.
So my explanation for everything is kind of like, I just think that when something dies, it can't totally be dead if there's energy in your body.
I totally agree. Having these experiences, would you want to like court more experiences? Or are you like, I'm good. Ghosts are real.
That's good. They gotta be nice. They gotta be nice to me. I forgot one other. This one's kind of recent and I don't know what to make of it. And this really, I mean, this is, I pay attention to like the arguments of skeptics because I think that they're important to like think about. And this certainly, I think, falls into that one where it could be like you're choosing to perceive something based off of knowledge. But like a while ago, I started noticing that I just kept hitting like every single green light all the time on my way home from work. And so I started going to Goodwill because it's by my house. And I was like, I bet I'll find, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm on like a lucky streak.
Yeah.
And I would always find something really good. And that had been happening for a while. And then my mom told me that her sister died in like a really sad way, basically. she was an alcoholic and, you know, was found in her home. So we didn't know really what happened. And so she, she's like a very religious woman who was like, you know, she was very skeptical about going to a medium, but was like, she was struggling a lot with it. So she told me that the medium talked to her about her dad who passed away too and said like, oh, what he does is he, and this sounds so weird, but he like spreads sparkle. I don't know what that means, but to me, it kind of felt the way I interpreted it was like, oh, he like kind of will like, you know, make a light green or something that will like speed up your day. Like if you get the last, you know, flavor of the ice cream you like or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I started kind of like testing out where I was like, I wonder if this is him. So I was like driving. And I was like, come on, Grandpa, give me a green light. And then I heard this voice that was like, can't give you everyone. And then I hit more and I was like, okay, it's not real. Because I was like, that could have been my voice, you know, like that could have been me like subconsciously thinking that. But it didn't feel like it was my thought. And so I get to the grocery store and I had hit a couple red lights. So I was like, it's not real. And then I'm checking out and the guy who's checking me out, he's like putting stuff in my bag without checking it. And I'm like, and he's like a teenager. And of course this could be like, oh, this kid just didn't give a shit about his job. And I just like lucked out. But I kind of like waited a minute. Cause I was like, I could use a couple free groceries. And then I was like, hey man, you're not like checking out this stuff. And there was no one in the line. Like he didn't need to do this, but he was like, whatever. And then just kept going. So we got like $100 of free groceries.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
I was like, holy shit, that was it. Which again doesn't prove anything.
These like moments are so feel so profound to you. And then you say them and you're like, you know, and people are like, no, that's good luck. And it's so hard to know that line. Sometimes it is good luck. Sometimes there's something else if you could feel it.
Yeah, exactly. And so then I like kept testing it. So I kept being like, because my grandpa was like not a nice person. He was very abusive. Like I've never had a good opinion of him. And so I don't know if it's like his spirit having like healed and moved on. And like, that's the way he makes up for it. Or like, I don't know if you're in the afterlife and then like what you do is you try to undo the damage you did. I don't know how it works. But so I kept testing it where I was like, okay, all right. I'm going to keep going to Goodwill. And I was like, if I see this Pyrex pattern, I'll know that it's real or not. And this one came before, and I'll mention this really quickly. I dropped my ring, fell off of my finger, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like looking through clothes, heard it drop, couldn't find it. And I'm like thinking in my head. And again, I was raised Catholic. So I was like doing the like, Anthony, something is lost. It must be found. Which, if you don't know, St. Anthony is like the saint of lost things. I think it's meant more in a spiritual way, but we take a lot of liberties in the Catholic Church. So I was like, help me find my ring. And then I was like, Grandpa. And then I'm like thinking this. I'm not like saying it. And then I go, oh, for the love of God. And then I look up and I see the ring and it's right there.
Dude, I feel like jewelry is such a big thing. This is a theme. People feeling that their jewelry is totally gone and then talking to a spirit, talking to a dead loved one, and it comes back. It's amazing. Yeah. It has not worked for me. I have tried it, but
maybe do keys count as jewelry?
What?
Do keys count as jewelry?
For me, absolutely.
But really quickly, the last time it happened, I was hitting every green light and I was like, okay, if I see this one pattern of Pyrex, I'll know it's real. I'll know this. I'm like, this is the only way. Like, this has happened so many times. I'm doing something very specific. And I'm thinking of this like green, it's like an olivey green with like white. There's like a couple where it'll be like white with the green flowers on it, but it's essentially, it's this pretty like popular pattern from the 70s or 60s or 70s.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I'm gonna look around. And like I've always like I find like stuff I need every time I go there. I'm like finding like, oh, I need a pair of slacks. And then I find like the perfect pair of slacks that fits me great.
Oh wow. So that's very good luck. Because I was like, yeah, if you find a cute t-shirt or something, that's like, that's all okay, good. But like, yeah, if you have something specific in mind, it's almost impossible.
Yeah. And like, so I specifically had this like, and something that I've never seen, I've never found it at a Goodwill. I've never found this pattern. I've seen it on like Facebook Marketplace, but I've never been able to find it. So I'm like walking around and I don't see it in the bowls. And that was like what I wanted. And I was like, okay, I guess it's not real. So I go and I'm like walking out to go to the mugs and I look over and there's a mug with that pattern on it. And there's four of them.
Did you buy them?
I bought two of them because I didn't have a ton of room in my cabinet. But I was like, I can't leave without them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
But yeah. And I don't know if someone else would be like, that's just manifesting.
Right. Well, I think that there's a spiritual element to the idea of manifesting anyway, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was just like a really weird thing where I was like, okay, like this is how I'll know that this shit is real. Okay. And I just kind of started like noticing it after my mom told me, but there were definitely times like before her telling me about that, that I was just getting really good luck.
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, it's a huge, listen, great perk if your grandpa dies.
I mean, that's what grandpa, that's kind of what they're known for. So
when he was alive, he really sucked. This really has added to my life now that he's gone.
Yeah. You're like, I like you a little better, dude.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't stop doing it. Cause I said that.
No, I feel like he's got a lot to make up for. So
yeah, true. Let's shame him.
Erin's grandpa, please give her fame and fortune. This has been wonderful. Tell everybody where they can find you on the internet and plug anything you would like to plug.
Yeah. I don't produce really anything anymore, but you can find me on Instagram. It's underscore Erin Morris. And trying to think about anything I have coming up. I'm in Milwaukee. I have a Halloween show coming up. It's with Stein Improv. They do sort of a Goosebumps type themed show. So I'll be doing some stand up on that. And then I'll have a show in November coming up at the Sugar Maple with Hotties Only. And I don't know what day it is, but there will be posts on online and I'll be posting about it. So people can find me mainly on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Haunted as Hell, formerly Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you enjoyed this podcast, the best thing you could do is help spread the word about it by rating and reviewing it wherever you get your pods and just sharing it. You know, the old-fashioned way, like saying to somebody, wow, I just did the best thing with my commute. Oh, what was it? It was listening to this podcast. It was so good. It was called Haunted as Hell, formerly Comedians with Ghost Stories. Oh, wow. Great. Thank you for telling me, Ted. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at EmilyMCWinter and Haunted as Hell on Instagram. Here's a good way to remember it. It sounds like haunted a shell.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.